Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Bree, Aki, Jacob. How are you three doing?
Yay. It's Thursday.
Woohoo.
Thank you for the biddies gigantifying that emote.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Right when the last one was about to leave, too. Yep. Fuck.
Yeah.
It's really
We're live on Twitch, everybody.
I hate this so much.
You think you hate it? I was really hoping it'd be gone soon. No, they just won't let it die. Why?
I wish I could find a way to make the episode, YouTube, just be a repeating GIF of that the entire episode.
You're a fucking monster.
I am a monster.
I don't. No.
Tearing the abyss of Jacob's implants.
Teeth of Jacob's teeth that become his lips.
Mm-hmm.
God, I don't know why. I don't like looking at this at all.
If I could freeze it about halfway, it starts to make you look like a Sasquatch.
Yeah, and at the end, it looks like a hairy testicle.
Again, I already do.
Remember that picture of the old guy that has the bottom lip over his nose?
Yeah,
that's what I see near the end of this.
Thank you. Great.
I could freeze it in another spot. It's very Neanderthal.
Well, that's just Jacob. That's the beginning.
Yeah. I was going to say, Neanderthal is pretty apt, but
YouTube listeners have no clue what the hell we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. God, aren't they blessed?
They are. So how was everybody's week?
It was great until a little bit ago when y'all started posting this bullshit.
Hey, Joe, you know what you should do for a reward? You should make it so you can spend your pancakes to gigantify an emote.
No, don't do that.
There's no way to do that.
Oh,
that's,
really?
That's a Twitch level thing.
God. Ah, dang it. Because I was going to say, I'm sitting on 22,000 pancakes, and, I think that would be a good way to spend them all.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no way to do that. That's you got to use bits to do that on Twitch.
And unfortunately, I've blown all my bits.
On tits?
Aha! No, I'm on handing shits. You one bit at a time. Like now. Wait, hold on.
Are you out?
Oh, wait, I clicked on the wrong thing. Thank you. I don't know what I'm doing.
We know.
God, how was your week?
My week was pretty meh. I was just, playing video games, doing the things. But my weekend, I did more medieval stuff. And that was pretty cool.
I took some pictures
that I haven't remembered to post yet. I will remember if someone reminds me. I don't know, maybe this weekend.
Just make a Breeze Adventures channel on the Discord.
There you go.
And you could just post all of your stuff.
It'll also just me be posting pictures of food and stuff.
I don't care. It'd be your channel. You could do whatever you want.
That's fair.
Look at what Aki does in hers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah,
that's interesting. Fuck you, Jeff.
I helped cook dinner for 80 people.
No, I'm just saying that you do whatever you want in there. You post whatever you want. It's just your channel. To do what you want in. That wasn't a knock or anything.
I don't know if I trust that, but I'll just say okay.
You don't know if you trust that.
No, not at all.
I don't trust Same that you're you. Not insulting me.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
Is there anything anyone wants to talk about, or are we just diving into news right away?
I mean, the thing I want to talk about is nudes, so, you know.
Is it Disney Dreamlight?
You bet it is.
You know I'm going to time you, right?
I don't care. I will ignore you.
Do you think he cares?
Actually, you're in luck because I've only played for like 2 hours or so. So, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Is anybody a fan of the McRib?
You know, every single time that thing comes back, I'm like, oh man, I have to get a McRib. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's a reason why this thing doesn't, like, it's not on the menu all the time. This thing sucks. And then it, like, it goes away for like a year or two. And then I'm like, oh man, the McRib's back. I should get one. Oh, it sucks. Like, I'm just in this constant, like, you know, forgetting loop of love and hate of the McRib.
Well, totally it's not really- video game news, but they're selling the sauce by the jug now. It's like $20 and you get like a half gallon jug.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
That sounds disgusting. Never can see.
So how many pancakes?
Chug.
How many pancakes would it be to get you to drink from a jug of that?
Oh my god,
because that would qualify as hydrate. So I've got
Jesus Christ.
I would make you hydrate from the McRib jug for 22 times.
Gross.
That's not what the hydrate command is.
It's what? Like the gross sodas all over again.
You don't get to pick
again.
What I drink.
Yes, I do. I'm
no,
going
I
to.
Drink what yeah. I'm drinking.
Well, too bad. I'm going to tell Ashley well, to like,
you're gonna
steal
have to
all
buy,
your soda.
You're going to have to buy a jug of McRib sauce and bring it up here. And then we'll talk about doing a redemption.
That sounds horrific.
Yeah, but I might be willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where just fucked up. You might just do it.
Yeah. All right. I'll take this offer.
And this is how I drank a dozen gross sodas.
Yep.
Conversations like that.
Yeah, well, this is how Joe ended up like clogging all of his arteries by drinking the McRib sauce.
See, Jacob thinks it's going to be something of like, ooh, 5,000 pancakes. Hell no.
Oh, no. Hydrate right here. It's 1,000.
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
Nope.
You'll make a special redemption that'll cost.
It'll be a special redemption.
Oh,
how much is that special redemption going to cost? Jesus.
22,000 pancakes, probably.
Probably
either, that or else, either that or else, you know what it'll be? It'll be 23,000 pancakes, so then I can't afford it.
I have over 150,000 pancakes.
Thank you for coming to my aid, Bree.
But now it's going to cost like 200,000 specifically to prevent that from happening.
No, I'd probably do like 50.
Oh. Yeah, you're drinking it then.
Probably.
That's right, Joe. Drink it all. Drink it all for me.
Speaking of drinking it all, it looks like Sony wants to drink all of the anime in the world. They are looking to acquire Kadokawa, the majority owner of From Software, as well as Spike Chunsoft, Acquire, and Gotcha Games. Seems like Sony's biggest motivator in the purchase might be their anime and manga operations, but I'm sure FromSoft is a pretty big factor as well. Some worry this might be causing a Sony monopoly in the anime industry. And then Kadokawa released a statement confirming that Sony expressed interest, but they said no decision has been made yet about the offer.
I want Sony to stay the fuck away from anime.
Why is that?
They're already, like, controlling most of it.
Yeah, they need to get the fuck out, and they need to stay the fuck out, and they need to go the fuck away.
They won't.
Well, they need to anyways.
Well, they won't.
Setting.
Why would they give that up? Like, they work so hard to build that anime portfolio, and now they're looking to build it even further. I'm worried that this might lead to, like, Elden Ring and Souls games being PlayStation exclusive from now on.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I'm like, unless it's kind of like Bungie's offer, where they're like, we get to do what we want. And release on what we want, then...
Yeah. Well, even that, I don't know if Bungie's going to have much control over what they do, given how poorly things have been going on their end. I think Sony's starting to take more control over them.
Yeah, I mean, especially with how Marathon is supposedly going.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think Sony's going to end up buying them? Do you think this purchase is going to go through?
I don't know. I know if they get the chance, they definitely will. I don't know if they're going to end up selling or not. I don't know enough about their situation to know if they really feel the need to sell yet.
I don't know. We'll find out. Game Pass. A couple of games joined Game Pass this week. A couple are joining next week, and then a whole bunch are leaving at the end of the month. Damn games it. Joining Standard. We'll get those out of the way now. November 20th, they got Plate Up and Little Kitty Big City.
Yay.
Nice.
Then joining Game Pass Ultimate, November 19th, we got Microsoft Flight Sim. Which apparently has been a real problem for Microsoft because they vastly underestimated how popular the game would be.
Yeah. It had some problems on launch, it sounded like.
Yeah, the launcher just wasn't working for people. If you're wondering why the game's only like a 15 gig download, because it's just a launcher and you're going to have to download a lot more.
That's dumb.
Well, I believe it's so that you're only downloading the parts of the game you're actually going to use.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Given how huge that game is. November 20th, Stalker 2.
Nice.
All right. Finally landed on Game Pass. Next week on the 26th, Nine Souls will be joining.
Cool.
And then on the 27th, Aliens Dark Descent.
Ooh.
I don't know what that one is.
An Aliens game.
That doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, but sure.
But yeah, that's it for November. That's all the games we're getting. Yeah.
They're
on the flip side, we're losing a bunch. On PC side, they're losing Coral Island and Walking Dead the final season.
Okay.
And then on the Xbox side, we are losing Conan Exiles, Remnant from the Ashes, Rollerdrome, Soccer Story, Spirit of the North, and While the Iron's Hot. And then there's a question mark because Hello Neighbor 2 was listed on the Xbox page as a game leaving Game Pass, but it's no longer appearing in the Leaving Soon section. So I don't know if they worked something out to keep that around or what. But
well, that is apparently a fairly quick one to complete, so...
Yeah, I'm wondering, has anyone here played Spirit of the North? Is that a quick one to beat?
I don't know if I've even played it. Let me check my achievements.
I started it and never finished it. But I think it's a 6 to 8 hour game is what TA is saying, so...
Okay, maybe I'll grab that this
week. Oh, it's the one where you're hopping around as a fox.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of a couple of games. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I realize I have to be more specific with that. I enjoyed what I played. Like, you can't really die. You just, like, get reset to whatever your last thing was. And it's just, like, a lot of wandering and whatnot. I liked it. I liked it.
I will download that this weekend and play it then.
It's only $250 on Xbox right now.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll buy it right now then.
Yeah, make sure you're getting the enhanced edition. I mean, that might be the only version that's available, but...
Yeah, I think it's the only version that's available.
Yeah. Games leaving PlayStation Plus as well. They're losing a whole lot on December 17th. Ready for these? Stranger Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, Metal Hellsinger, Solstice, Vampire the Masquerade, Cotteries of New York, Judgment, Dead Island, and Dead Island Riptide, Moonscars, Grime, Tinykin, Evil Genius 2, Gigabash, Proteus, Mega Man 11, Mega Man Legacy Collection, and Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. All leaving December 17th.
Yeah. That's a lot, and there's a bunch of damn good games in that, too.
Yeah.
Good thing I own the Mega Man games, so...
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited because my kids have... I'm not sure why... Oh, because of the Megas, the band. I could save most of that story for later, but anyway. Yeah, my kids are getting into like the idea of like the Robot Masters, and like they just find them absolutely fascinating. And so I'm going to be re-downloading those games to my Xbox so they can start playing them again.
Nice. I'm still hoping that we get the Battle Network games eventually.
Oh my God, I do too. I really need them to be on Xbox.
Yeah. The PlayStation Portal is getting an update to become a cloud player for select PS5 games if you are a PS Plus premium member. From what I hear, it works pretty well, but I'm not a premium member, so I can't try it out myself. The plus side is they're going to have a discount on PlayStation Plus for Black Friday, so I might just upgrade and try it.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
I think Lloyd said he was going to try it, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
He said hi to everybody, by the way.
Did he?
Yes, where is he? He did earlier. He's playing Seas right now.
Ah. Hi, Lloyd.
Yarr.
Yarr. Microsoft is slowly adding titles to cloud gaming that aren't tied to Game Pass. They've now got an additional 50 games you can stream as long as you own them. I'm not going to go down the whole list, but I will pick out a few good ones. Assassin's Creed Mirage. What?
I need to know if one game is on there. Is SD Gundam Battle Alliance on it?
No.
God damn it. Okay. Continue.
Yeah, there's only 50 games. They're mostly newer stuff. Assassin's Creed Mirage, Avatar is on there, Balatro, Baldur's Gate 3, Dragon Quest 3 HD Remake is on there, Final Fantasy 1 through 6 and 14, Harry Potter Quidditch for some reason, Lego Harry Potter Collection, Mortal Kombat 1, which is good because that's a fucking massive game. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, Star Wars Outlaws, another big game, which has some news we'll talk about in a minute. Cyberpunk, Visions of Mana, Warhammer Space Marine 2. So they have a good selection, but considering that there's literally thousands of games on the system, having a list of 50 seems underwhelming.
I mean, they have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope this isn't going to be like the backward compatibility list where we get like 3 games a week.
Mm.
Yeah, I just hope that they get SD Gundam Battle Alliance on there so maybe they'll actually have the correct updated fucking version of the goddamn game finally.
Not
that I'm still angry about that or anything.
Oh, no, you definitely don't come across that way. No.
No.
Good.
Star Wars Outlaws is getting an update that removed most of the Force stealth from the game. Stealth will still be in the game, but now if you get caught in most situations, you could just start blasting bitches instead of getting reset to a checkpoint.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
I need that. Yeah.
Of all games, Assassin's Creed Syndicate got a 60 FPS patch this week on Series X and S, PS5, and PS5 Pro.
Yeah, that was kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, I was not expecting something like that. That was weird.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a good one, though, so.
Yeah, it'll be nice for when I go replay it because an achievement glitched on me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Farming Simulator 25 sold 2 million copies in the first week with 125,000 concurrent on Steam on launch day.
Really? That many people like Farming Simulator?
Probably out in Europe, yeah.
Jeez.
I guess so. Simulator is also one of the games on the cloud gaming for Xbox.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, doesn't it have like an exclusive controller this year or something like that?
Jeez.
I don't know.
Or that might just be the PC version.
I'm probably PC.
Farming Simulator controller. Oh my God, I love these. Logitech has like a full-blown like $150 equipment side panel.
Good God.
Hori makes a they make a $400 farming control system and wheel.
Holy shit.
This is amazing. I need all this.
Do you?
Thrustmaster also has a Simtask farm stick joystick specifically made for farming games.
Good Lord. I wonder how much a complete setup would run you.
Entirely too damn much.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, the thing is, like, I wonder if all these things work together.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I'm sure some European guy figured it out. Oh my God, yeah. No, they did. Reddit farming simulator, like, there is a thread, what does everyone use for a controller? And like, some guy rattled off like four different things that he has hooked up and like, and what each of them do, and I'm just like, good God, dude.
Damn. Speaking of spending a lot on a game, Path of Exile 2 finally up on the Xbox Store to pre-order for early access, which starts December 6th, and there's some pretty insane bundles you can buy. The cheapest one's $29.99. Not bad. Early access, RPG, cool. Then there's a $59.99 bundle. Has some in-game content. All right, whatever. And then a $99.99 bundle, which, you know, that's getting pricey. But we see a lot of games come out at that price tag that come with extra content, season passes, shit like that.
Yep.
Of course.
And then there's a $149.99 bundle.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Which
we've seen NBA come out at like $149 because it has two versions of the game, tons of in-game currency and skins and cards and blah, blah, blah. But then there's a $219.99 bundle.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the Kemco RPG collection at $199, but that's like 50 games or some shit.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But that's not all. There's a bundle that costs $369.99.
Did you figure out what's in that thing?
It's all in-game content.
Oh my God.
It's like pets, weapon skins, armor sets, forum titles, profile banners, I think 3,700 in-game currency, whatever that translates to.
Not enough.
Portal skins, weapon effects, killing effects. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. 370.
Still not as crazy as Star Citizen.
You could buy a fucking console for cheaper than the game.
Yep.
That blows my mind. That's just wild. I don't know.
And realistically, we can't compare other things to Star Citizen because it has shit in there that's so damn pricey, you could buy a literal house. So yeah,
that's true.
Yep.
They're ridiculous. I don't understand how any of that shit works. That's stupid.
$40,000. Yep.
You can get this fake thing in a video game at some point, maybe in the future, or you could buy a cheapened house.
Yeah.
Fuck. So yeah, I might jump in at $30 to try the game, but I'm staying the fuck away from anything more than
at that price it should come with a statue or something. Yeah,
I think the only thing more expensive on the Xbox store is a Series X.
Yeah,
that's just gross. That's
Anyway,
EA is shutting down the servers for UFC 3 on February 17th. 15 achievements will be discontinued.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Is there an offline mode to that game, or is it all just online?
Yeah, there's offline play to it. It's just a lot of online achievements to it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, hopefully everyone's able to get those before it runs out, and then they can at least still enjoy the game. That's nice, at least.
Yeah. Not the crew, at least.
Yeah.
And then last bit of news I have ESNet has announced that they have transferred publishing rights for Shenmue 3 to InIn Games. No word on what this means, but I'm guessing a multi-platform release might finally happen.
Yay.
Okay.
Yay.
No one excited for Shenmue 3?
No.
I mean, I still have to play the first two. So, I mean, I'm excited to buy it and then never play it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's all I can really do.
I mean, you could also play it at some point, but...
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Fair?
It's
better.
Potentially, but I doubt it, and I feel like I'd get
pummeled. No, I meant Daylight or Disney Dreamlight was better.
Yeah, no. I know that's what you meant, but I'm just like, I feel like if I went to any video game or anime con, I'd just get pummeled if I had that opinion out loud.
Probably, because the fans of Shenmue are real fans of it. I just don't think there's very many of them.
I made someone cry earlier today a little bit because I was like, it was meh. I played it on Dreamcast. It was okay.
You were very nice with it, then.
Yeah.
That is such an inane fucking game. Jesus.
I don't know. I mean, like, it seems like there's a lot of stuff that you can do in it. I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, I play the Yakuza games, so... You know, I'm already used to doing shit that's completely unrelated to the plot line.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, you might actually like those if you like all the extra stuff, especially if you like the boring stuff in the Yakuza games, which I can't think of what that is off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's something boring in it. If you like that, then you're definitely going to like Shenmue.
If you like boring.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aki, what news do you have? Anything?
No, you took the thing that I had, so.
All right, Bree, what about you?
I have one thing. Fortnite is raising its Battle Pass price from 950 V-Bucks to 1,000 V-Bucks. That's my whole news.
Is that a lot?
I don't know what that means. I think you buy like 1,000 V-Bucks is like, you know, 10, 15 bucks or whatever. So their battle pass price is going up like, you know, a dollar.
We should do the math and find out if the V-Bucks are stronger than the American dollar.
Yeah. Then we would have to talk about Fortnite more, and I really don't want to.
That's fair. True.
Jacob, what news do you have?
Oh, man. All right. F1 Manager 2025 has reportedly been canceled.
Oh.
Shame.
I feel like that affects European gamers more than us.
Probably.
Maybe. Or just sim players in general, but...
Games Radar brought up some interesting news today. Deadpool has been updated on Steam along with six other delisted Activision games. Deadpool, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, and Transformers Fall of Cybertron, War for Cybertron, and Devastation have all been updated. The change list for all seven states added store_screenshot, which... They don't have store pages anymore, so that makes it really curious.
I know people said that it could mean something, but it could also mean nothing because the games have also gotten other updates over the past multiple months, years, whatever, that just didn't affect anything. But the fact that all of them got an update at the same time is what has people...
Yeah.
Wondering if these games might be coming back.
Which I'm really hopeful for, because
I know not all of them are available on Xbox, but it'd be good to see a few of them come back.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like, Deadpool has you said some of the Transformers stuff had Xbox One versions, I thought you said, right?
Yeah, one of them.
Okay. One of
the Cybertron ones, and then Devastation Spider-Man was a 360 game.
Right.
And it's not backward compatible, obviously. Deadpool was Xbox One, and it has a physical, so you could still get that one. Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 are Xbox One, but they were digital only.
Right, because I've got those as well.
And the 360 versions are not playable.
Yeah. So there's that. It looks like we're going to be getting Back for Blood 2.
Cool. Just,
yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
Let's see. Thunderful has laid off 80 to 100 employees, and some of their in-development games were canceled.
Yikes.
That sucks.
Oh,
Steam. Any word on what games, or no?
No, it's just stuff that was in development. Mm. Also, Reflector Entertainment also had some layoffs as well.
I know Heart Machine had layoffs as well.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Steam has changed its policy on DLC content and season passes, so you will now be compensated if future plans for DLC or stuff falls through. Essentially, you'll get offered a refund for the value of whatever DLC did not get released.
That's good. Too many games have false promises with their expansion passes, and good to see Steam taking a stand. Didn't they make it so you have to have, like, really accurate dates for your content as well?
I've already closed out of the article, so I'm not sure.
GG.
It's posted on the Facebook page if you want to look.
I'm streaming the show. I can't look it up.
Why couldn't you look it up?
Because right all my now, screens are taken.
It's your news.
Right now, all I see is a Taco Bell ad instead of your ugly face, so...
Why do you see a Taco Bell ad?
I don't know. I just have a Taco Bell ad here on Twitch.
Did you reload it?
No.
That's gross. Now, I fucking hate ads. Why do I have ads?
Now I have a Meta ad. It says, catch the SML podcast right after this ad break. Stick around to support the stream.
Bullshit. I have ads turned off. Why the fuck are they running ads?
Because they hate you.
God damn it.
I thought that was obvious.
I hate ads. I hate them, hate them, hate them.
Okay, there's your ugly face again. And also, the Splinter Cell movie got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently they just couldn't get it right, and they figured it would be better to cancel it than make a crappy movie that nobody likes. So, hooray for somebody having a brain.
Yeah.
Yay.
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 Thank you. I was trying to find that, but you got to it before I did.
Yep.
I'm the beef.
What else, Jacob?
Oh, that's all I got.
All you got?
That's all I got.
Cool. Anything else anyone want to talk about, or are we diving into reviews? Jacob, you're not going to take this opportunity to talk about Disney?
Oh my God, that's right. Oh, I totally forgot that we were going to. Oh. So,
over here being quiet.
Yeah, I know. Bree just like...
You got 5 minutes. Go.
Okay, so the Storybook Veil launched yesterday, and it is priced at either $30 or $50. Oh. Yeah, which I was not pleased when I discovered that, because Gameloft had not announced like what the price point was going to be for the deluxe edition, and yeah, now I see why, because I think we all would have flipped shit at the when they showed off everything. Anywho, if you get the deluxe edition, it has a bunch of exclusive content, 10,000 moonstones, which to be honest is like $30-ish in in-game currency, so it's not a bad deal for what you're getting. It's just like, holy crap, I'm 39 years old, am I seriously spending $50 on the expansion pass to a Disney game? Yes, I am. And I did.
Yay!
So yeah, it's pretty cool so far. I've already run into Merida, and we're trying to restore the... No. That's for Elsa. Thank you very much. Anyway, although then again, she is over in Storybook Vale. They don't have to know about each other. Kind of like Fable 2 or Fable.
Jesus.
That's not a bad idea. All right. Anyway, but yeah.
Norty, Norty.
You're so Norty. I totally forgot about that too. All right. So anyway, there's these like little bird animal things that you have to catch called snippets. And that is how you get the puzzle pieces that create the tapestries that you unlock, various items and stuff like that. And other stories within Storybook Vale. So that seems kind of cool. And yeah, that's about as far as I've gotten into it. I only got to play 2 hours of it on launch day because my kid was homesick and then I had to work and I ended up doing overtime. So, but yeah, so far it seems pretty cool and I'm excited about it. So
yeah, what you're going to do all weekend?
Yes. Yes.
Figure. Yeah.
The kids are going to be like, Dad, can we play on the Xbox? No, I'm playing Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Daddy's busy.
Dad's busy. Yes. Dad's all in right. His happy spot.
I mean, now we all have art games. I'm going to be playing Sea of Thieves all weekend because they finally updated all the problems and fixed all the achievements and
oh, did they?
And all that. So yeah, and they're having a community weekend with up to double XP or something as the weekend goes on. So, I mean, I get it. We all have our one game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it sounds badass when you're like, ah, I'm playing Sea of Thieves and I'm fucking up shit, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, I'm over here like, I'm playing Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yeah, but like, when you say it in that voice, it sounds badass. So there does. You go.
Okay.
It almost cool. Makes me want to play it.
It's the manliest game ever.
Nah.
No? Okay.
No. Reviews?
Let's do it.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is Nairi Rising Tide, developed by Home Bear Studio, published by Houndpick Games, released November 14th on Switch and Steam for $14.99. Explore a lively oasis city filled with charming characters, forgotten ruins, and ominous conspiracies in the second chapter of Nairi, a narrative puzzle adventure about Nairi's perilous quest to save her family. Bree, what is going on in Nairi Rising Tide?
So Nairi Rising Tide is the sequel to Nairi Tower of Shirin. If you didn't play the first game like me, there is a very cool recap in the main menu. Gives us a good idea of the world, full of anthropomorphic animals mixed with humans. The story and the world is pretty complex. There's like lunar and solar factions fighting against one another, as well as some gangs. There's conspiracies all around. Nairi is the daughter of some nobles who have been cast out by their political rivals, and she's still on a quest to save them. Turns out one of her helpful companions was the son of the rival house that cast out her family in the first place, and at the end of the first game, he takes a really big fall and is presumed dead. But maybe at the beginning of this game, we find out he's alive, which is pretty cool.
Dun, dun, oh, no. Dun!
So yeah, Nairi continues on her way to unravel the secrets of the tower, where we'll find out that she is in possession of something special that makes her the messenger. The ancient people who built the tower had a prophecy of sorts that young Nairi can translate with the help of one of her companions. It's a narrative puzzle adventure. I would say a lot of the gameplay is like point and click. You have beautiful environments and scenes that you click for clues and figure out how to find keys to unlock doors. You have an inventory of items you collect that you can use on other things to help solve puzzles. So you might need a grapple hook to climb up to areas above you, and you might have to pull out of your inventory like small statues that act like a bridge key. And then the rest of the game is intermixed with dialogue scenes and motion comics. There are even some quick time events, like in one scene, you have to help alleviate boredom of this NPC. And so, and he happens to be like a big tortoise character and, you know, big and burly. And he's like sitting there making posters and he is so bored. He wants to punch things. So you get into a fight with him to help alleviate his boredom as like a task to gain favor in this one faction so that you can get help later. Playing this on Switch was a treat. You can move your cursor with the controller, but you can also interact using the screen. The game auto saves, but you also have 3 save slots to work with, which is pretty nice if you got extra people playing on your console. Let's see. You get quests and maps of the areas you're in. Your quests get logged in a journal, so you don't forget where you're supposed to be, which is nice. There's like a little marker on your map. Then if you put down your game and you come back and you're like, what was I doing? There's a handy little journal for you. One of the first quests you do is delivering hot buns to customers in the market. They're little bear buns. They're super cute.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
I knew Jacob would chime in. Knew hot buns would get Jacob to comment.
Yeah.
Because he's thinking of mine.
Bear buns.
No, she said hot buns, not droopy buns.
No, I said bear buns.
Hot bear buns.
Hot bear buns.
That's me.
Yeah. He does have hot bear
buns. There you go. But yeah, in the journal, you have to look at the pictures of there's like pictures in your journal that show you who you need to find in the marketplace to deliver your buns to. At some point, your companion Rex, the greatest thief in all the lands, gets robbed by a dog thief, and you have to go on a series of quests to find him. You get mixed up with a resistance group called the Rising, who are fighting the class system. And you have to help them do a number of tasks to get help finding your thief so you can get some forged bridge passes. It's just a really fun story. I had a good time with this one.
Oh, it is. It's a fairly cheap one. It clocks in at $15. What are your thoughts on that?
The art is great. It's all hand drawn. The music is good. The story has depth and good character writing. I would say the gameplay is somewhere between a point and click and a visual novel. I would say buy it.
Cool. Do you think people should play the first one, or do you think it's not necessary with the recap?
I think the recap helps, but like, I would encourage you to go check out the first game. I totally want to go check it out for myself now too.
Cool.
So yeah.
All right. Next game. Tell Me Your Story, developed and published by Red Deer Games, released November 15th, Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Tell Me Your Story is a story-driven, cozy puzzle game which might remind you of the warm time spent with your grandparents or loved ones on getting to know the many, sometimes unexpected stories from their lives. Aki and Bree, both of you, check this one out. Aki, how about you start? What is Tell Me Your Story?
Yes, this is a little puzzle game where you're basically talking to your grandmother and she's telling you the adventures that she used to take in ye olden days. and it's just a very, very simple little puzzle game where, you know, you have to drag and drop a lot of stuff. Like, part of this might be, oh, let's see what's all in your luggage. And you drag a sock to another sock, and then those two socks move off to the side, and you just grab everything out of there and attach them to whatever they go with, and it pops off to the side until you're done. Or, hey, let's figure out how to get to this set of tea leaves, and that requires you to scare off some spiders and then get rid of spider webs to find them. It's all very, very basic stuff. This is very well made for kids, specifically. It is currently on Xbox, a little broken. One of the achievements isn't working right now, quite yet. Thankfully, however, most of the achievements in this game work just fine. And if you somehow miss one, like this broken one, you can go right back to it with a chapter select, which is nice. It makes life a little easier. Most of these puzzles were pretty basic. Some of them were kind of an annoyance because the game doesn't really tell you how to do anything at all.
Yeah, there's no dialogue. It's only pictures.
Yeah. And that's, you know, from cutscenes to, like, there's no instructions for anything you're doing. You just have to kind of figure it the fuck out. And that doesn't always work super well because there isn't any instructions.
there are hints available. Yes. But the hint basically gives you the answer as much as you can give an answer to the visual puzzle. So it's kind of a drag. But you do get hints, and if you run out of hints, they have you put together like a broken teacup so that you can get more hints. There's actually an achievement for doing that, for using the hints up and doing the little teacup repair.
Yeah, I found typically that if I didn't understand what the fuck I was supposed to do, clicking the hint button really did not help in any way at all. Every time I was stuck, I was like, okay, let's look at the hint. What's that supposed to mean? It could do with, like, maybe adding an explanation or something in the hint system. Just give us some written text or something, just so we can tell what's going on with what they're telling, how they're telling us to solve it. Like, there was one where you had to match, like, tea leaves that were in water, and I still don't really fully understand how I solve it. I just know where I go to solve it. I don't understand what it's actually doing, though. So, yeah. But most of the time, they're pretty simple. It may take you a few seconds to figure out what you're supposed to do, but it's not too bad. But there's a couple that kind of suck. And yeah, it's just the various adventures through her life. I think there's three or four sets of adventures.
There's three. She goes to South America, China, and then she's on the Orient Express where she meets her love, which is very cute. Yeah.
This sounds like a really cute game.
It is a very cute game. It's very sweet. You get stickers at the end of each chapter, and that kind of like reminds you of the adventure you went through, which is really cute. When you solve a puzzle, there's like a really satisfying little jingle that reminded me of Blue's Clues because we're really smart. it had like a wide range of puzzles, whether it was like an organization, a matching code breaker, there were some sliding puzzles, there was just lots of different stuff to do, but it really did require you to use like logic and intuition because there was a lot of guesswork as to what you needed to do. Sometimes it was really obvious, and other times it was like contextual, or you might have needed to have knowledge about the tea leaves to understand what you were doing to make sense of why you would want to do something.
Yeah.
So, because like you pick the tea leaves and then you steam them and then you roast them. And then you have tea. And that's like three different puzzles. Yeah.
No, yeah, let's talk.
I was going to say, there's one more thing that I thought was really cute. Was the recipes at the end of each chapter. Then you get to make like a little recipe, like a little food. Like you make hot chocolate or some rice balls. Or there was a salad.
Are they real recipes?
No, you just, it's like part of the puzzle. You have to like put things together based on the little recipe card.
I remember iDarb had like actual recipes in the game tied to the achievements.
Every last one of these areas that you visit in the grandmother's past, as she's telling you about it, you actually find stuff in her house that involves that, which is nice. Like, when she goes to one place, she's picking the tea leaves. And remember when I was like, oh, you need to find the tea leaves. Yeah, it's the same set of tea leaves. And stuff like that. It was nice. I liked that. It was cute.
Cool. Well, let's talk price on this one. Right now it is $9.99, but it is on sale for the next week for $7.99. What do you two think of Tell Me Your Story?
You want to start, Bree?
Well, so if you like A Little to the Left or Unpacking, you might enjoy this. But I ran into a couple of problems with the game. There's one, there's the broken achievement, but also some of the puzzles were really fiddly, and I had to restart them multiple times to get them to work. And I experienced some progress loss at one point, and when I reloaded my game. Ouch. So I had to replay an entire chapter, and then I was able to get to the end. But yeah, I'm not sure if that was a quick resume issue or what that was, but that was a little disappointing for me. So I think they have a couple of kinks to work out in this one, and I would say, like, I can give it a try. It it's a good price, though, and if they can fix those two issues, like, yeah.
I would give it a buy. I did not have anywhere near as many issues as Bree did with the game at all. It worked just fine for me the whole way through. Granted, I also, I think, played it in one sitting. That's just the type of person I am. But so I didn't mind it. I think the sale price, I think, is a better price for the game than the standard price. So I would say get it on sale. I think this is a real good one, especially if you have kids. Because it's very pretty, and it's simple enough that they should hopefully be able to do it, and if it's a little too complex, you should still be able to help them, so I'm all for it.
I could see this is a good family game.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm with Jacob. The sale price is the better price?
I feel so, yeah.
Usually, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I just... I just think $10 is asking for an awful lot for such a short, simplistic game, personally. Yeah. That's why I'm like, I like the sale price better, just because that's a lot closer to how much it should cost.
Cool. Well, speaking of things that are $7.99, the next game to talk about is the River City Girls 2 Double Dragon DLC, developed and published by WayForward, released November 12th. On Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 is DLC for River City Girls 2 for $7.99. Steam release is coming soon. Let's go, bros. The legendary Double Dragons, Billy and Jimmy Lee, are busting out of their dojos and joining River City Girls 2 as playable characters. These twin brothers jump into battle as distinctive fighters ready to throw down with bone-shattering punches, kicks, slams, and special attacks, including trademark moves such as the Rising Knee and the Hurricane Kick. Jacob, what is the Double Dragon DLC for River City Girls 2?
So, I mean, I can't exactly talk about the DLC without talking about the main game itself, River City Girls 2, which I'm sure we covered on the show like ages ago.
I think Tim covered it way back when.
Yeah, it's like a Comrade Thimber. anyway, crap, I now just got thrown off course. All right, so essentially it's like an RPG beat 'em up, and you pretty much just have to go through the whole city, beat up people, and you can take on these like little side quests, which are like, you know, oh, go here and get this, or go here and beat up this guy, that kind of stuff. And throughout, it is peppered with this insanely funny dialogue and full voice acting too, which I was really surprised by. I can't ever think of I don't know of any fighting or beat 'em up that had full voice acting like that I could think of. Also the opening theme for it is holy shit amazing. So if anything, you should just buy the game just based on the opening theme song. So the DLC,
Megan McDuffie is a pretty great composer.
It's just great throughout. And yeah, I was really impressed with the game itself, which you will get your ass kicked a lot in this game. But as you go through the game, you level up your character, and as you level up, you can purchase different moves, different abilities for your characters and stuff like that. So anywho, onto the DLC, we get brothers Billy and Jimmy from Double Dragon, and as you continue to play through them, much like the other characters, you unlock their signature moves as you level up, Thankfully, they come in pretty quick, so it's not like you have to play for too long. But one thing that surprised me with the game is that when you're going to the stores and stuff like that, you're going as that specific character. It's not just like, oh, well, I'm going to buy stuff and upgrade it for everybody. And so, like, you can have Billy at like level 5 and Jimmy's at like level 2 if you haven't been playing, like, you haven't been switching between the characters and stuff. So I thought, like, I thought that was pretty cool. And story wise, it is just absolutely hilarious. One of the brothers is absolutely stupid, and the other one's like pretty smart, but he comes off as this like kind of like prim and proper, almost kind of like mix of like, you know, stereotypical British with Superman, that kind of sensibility. And so the two of them just playing off of each other is absolutely fantastic. And again, it has full voice acting. Like, the DLC has voice acting. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, this is really cool to be able to play, and I'm really glad I got the chance at it.
Well, the DLC runs $7.99. What are your thoughts on that?
If you already have River City Girls, then yeah, you should definitely be getting this DLC. It's totally worth it and adds more stuff to the game. And if you don't have River City Girls, this is an excellent reason why you should. So then, go buy the DLC. Question.
River City Girls 2 clocks in at $40. What are your thoughts?
Yes, because it's not just a simple beat 'em up. It's not like Streets of Rage 4. You know, it's just not like a straight beat 'em up game. There is a huge amount of unexpected depth to it. But again, you're getting an amazing soundtrack. You're getting voice acting with it. You're getting actual like cutscenes. It's just, yeah, it's totally worth it. Like, highly recommend.
All right. Next game to talk about is Six Sided Stories, developed and published by Darzal Games, released November 20th on Steam for $4.99. A short and cozy puzzler with chill lo-fi beats. Flip the puzzle pieces and color them correctly to reveal the full picture. Discover how each image leads into the next, following a crew of adorable animals as they make friends and have wholesome adventures. Aki and Bree, both of you covered this. Who wants to start?
I can if
yeah, go for it.
I don't know how far you got into it, Bree, so
yeah.
This is a hex puzzle game.
Yeah, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, but with hexes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a story about a cat that makes friends with a bunch of animals that it really shouldn't be making friends with. But yeah, basically there is a 4 or 5 stories to it, and four or five seasons more or less, and they just continue this story. Each one of them is where the cat is meeting a new friend, and all those friends stick together and meet the next friend, and then the next, and so on and so forth. And there's a handful of levels for each one of these little seasons. And once you solve them all, it moves on to the next one. All of the puzzles are basically already solved pictures, but all of the little pieces are hexes, and they start switching around. Either they'll flip vertically or horizontally, or they'll invert their color, which I really didn't like, because some of those were really hard to tell if it was inverted or not. Because I'm blind.
So, are there any colorblind options in the game?
Not that I noticed.
I don't think there were, no. Because sometimes it's like, oh, because it literally completely tends to invert the color. And sometimes it's like, oh, so now blacks are just kind of gray. And a pink turns into a white. But yeah, both all of those colors kind of still work for the animal that you're dealing with. So it's like, I don't know what color was originally supposed to be.
Yeah,
it's like
a calico. So yeah.
Yeah, it makes it very weird because the colors are still often something that could still very easily be the correct animal. The worst one, I think, was the mouse, because it was like I could never tell what color the mouse was supposed to be. So I had the if it didn't solve immediately, I inverted all the colors of it in hopes that that would solve it. And that didn't always solve it. Mm. Thankfully, though, if you're stuck, eventually waiting on the screen long enough will cause one of the pieces that's still screwed up to jiggle around a little. And then you just have to figure out what you need to do to fix the damn thing. So that's nice. It makes it a lot easier to do, especially for ones later on where it's like they're just small discrepancies. Like some of them, it was like, oh, a bit of wind is shown going in that area, and I just didn't have it flipped facing the right direction, and that's not something I would have ever noticed otherwise if it didn't jiggle. So I really appreciated the jiggle. Not as good as jiggle physics.
Don't we but, all? You
know, yes.
Yeah.
But still pretty good. Basically, each season is around 6 or 8 puzzles, I think, somewhere around there for most of them. I think
there's a total of around 40 puzzles to solve.
That sounds about right. I think there's 6 chapters, and one of the chapters is the ending credits. So yeah, and the cat, you know, gets introduced to a mouse, a dog, and a bird. I think that's all of them. And it just shows the different little hijinks they get up to and how they get to know each other and stuff. And it's super cute.
The cat and the mouse try to steal cookies together. It's very cute.
Yeah. And I honestly, the cat and dog, I expected they were going to hate each other, and they ended up being perfectly fine. And I was shocked. But yeah, it's really cute. And some of the puzzles are kind of hard just because it's small. As I said, that little bit of wind was being shown on the piece, and I just had it facing the wrong direction. And when you get into later levels, a lot of the times where you've gotten something that you didn't solve correctly, it's usually a piece like that just needs to be switched around. It is hard to find those until they jiggle. I am so glad the jiggle is there. It is fantastic. Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
Well, we know you like jiggling, Aki. All right, yeah. Well, the game is $5. What do you two think?
100% for it.
Yeah, I thought the earlier levels, they did a good job of progression of like teaching you like, okay, the tiles move this way and they move that way, and now they can move up and down, and now you can do the color change, and then now we're going to combine all of them together. So there was a good progression of you understanding just visually like what you can do. It's very much a mouse click game.
So much so.
Yeah, I don't know that this would work with a controller. But I really liked it though. It was very cute, very simple, and I'd say the price is right.
And how's the music? We got to know how the music is.
Oh, that's right,
is.
The lo-fi beats. Oh my gosh.
Are they chill?
I almost forgot. They are chill.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I know they mentioned just independent artists from around the globe. So hopefully...
lo-fi beats. I totally forgot that's in my notes.
Good soundtrack.
Yeah, it was decent.
Sweet. All right, next up, Check and Slash, developed by Gate of Madness Studio, published by Aphil Games, released November 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. Check and Slash is an action-packed roguelite where chess meets fast-paced combat. You play as the Black King wielding a sword to fight your way through waves of white enemies in a single epic level, all while seeking to free your army from the enemy's grasp. Welcome to the world of Check and Slash. Jacob and Bree, both of you, check this out. Jacob, start off. What is Check and Slash?
So Check and Slash is, it is pretty much like a hack and slash with some rogue light. I'll never get the two.
Roguelike is a genre. Roguelite is elements of roguelikes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get that one day.
Light.
I don't think you will anymore. I don't think it will.
It'll be like having somebody be like, "Hey, Jacob, explain the difference between hip hop and rap." Anyway, so yeah, and you're playing as this chess piece who moves through these different levels, and you pretty much have to decide like how you're going to move through them strategically, because again, you are a chess piece and your enemies are also chess pieces, and sometimes they're going to move like them, and you have to plan out accordingly. And yeah, like, it's an interesting concept. In my, like, I didn't think it was the most groundbreaking thing, but I thought it was interesting enough, even if like it's not mind blowing and like it's not going to set the world on fire. Like,
it was something different to do with chess. I mean,
yeah, like,
it's a fun twist on it. I didn't have high hopes going into this because I'm not big into spins on chess. I'd rather just play like normal chess. But once I got into it and saw that it was more like a hack and slash game with like chess based strategy elements, I was sold. I loved this game. I was having fun with it, just hacking through enemies. I didn't get as far as I would have liked. It gets pretty tough when you got a bunch of pieces in
it. It does. Yeah.
I can't get past the White Knight right now is kind of my big thing. The other thing is that you get the roguelite elements, so you have skill bonuses that stack after you kill bosses and clear rooms of enemies. But each time you get to choose a bonus, there's also a negative. Like, you might get 20% damage boost to pawns, but your knights take more damage to kill. Also, when you die, you go back to an earlier segment, but the map changes. And you have to fight or dodge your way back to where you died. The piece you killed will have any damage bonuses you earned from the previous round on them. So if you kill them, you get them back.
Don't die.
Also, like, there's also
collectibles. If you die, it's harder, which I feel like if you die in games, it should get easier. But
Because
once you die once, you're like, what? Like, I died getting here. Now I'm weaker and you expect me to beat it? Not happening.
Yeah, but I thought it was neat trying to like find your way through the interconnected rooms, because like one direction might lead you to like a little room with just some static chess pieces, and others would connect you to the next piece on the bigger chessboard. But like each room is its own mini chessboard, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, like it's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought it was worth checking out. I don't know if I'd be like, oh, rush it to buy it, but at the same time, like, it doesn't cost a whole lot.
It's a $5 game, so thoughts?
I'd recommend it. Like, I think it's a good time waster.
I thought the music was pretty chill, too. Side note, I really like the dev logo for Gate of Madness. It's a tentacle holding a controller. That was a bonus for me. I don't know, just made me giggle every time I saw it. But it does definitely get harder the further you go.
I mean, so I just told people to buy River City Girls 2 because of the theme song. I mean, we could say buy this because of the dev logo.
The dev logo is pretty cool.
It's $5 worth.
$5 for a dev logo. Yeah, your verdict.
It's worth checking out.
All right. Next up, Project 13 Taxidermy Trials. Developed by Dry Bread, published by Dolores Entertainment, released November 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $5.99. Your mission is clear. Report any anomalies you encounter during your walks, but beware, a single misstep means starting over. Only by consistently reporting accurately will lead to the real exit. Bree, what is Project 13 Taxidermy Trials?
This is a Spot the Difference game, or a walking simulator, where you walk down a hallway and memorize your surroundings. This time, instead of a mental hospital, we're in a taxidermy museum. Each time you walk down the hallway, something may or may not be different. The very first time you walk down the hallway, it'll be normal, so you have to pay attention. At the end of each run, you have a door with a button. If you think something was different, press the button. If not, just walk through the door. There's a counter that will tell you if you were right or not. In the early stages of the game, it's a lot of guessing because some of the changes could be really subtle and you just don't have the museum memorized yet. Sometimes differences are really obvious, like the floor is mostly liquid and there are tentacles everywhere. Other times, things are more subtle, like a spelling change on the wall in the gift shop. Just like the original Project 13, you appear to be wearing some sort of gas mask, which softens the edge of your view. You seem to be some sort of participant in an experiment. And once you get through 13 runs in a row correctly, answering whether they were changes or not, you win your freedom. The one difference to note in the taxidermy trials is that the hallway feels a lot longer with a lot more things to memorize. Like, there are so many heads on the wall, and if you don't remember the exact order, you could find yourself, like, losing a run. So, yeah.
I might be too stupid for this game.
Did you play the original Project 13?
No, because I felt that was too stupid for that too.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I definitely have to take my time with this one to memorize it better. It took me a lot of runs to do Project 13. The taxidermy trials, it just feels like there's a lot more things to memorize and pay attention to. So,
yeah. Do you have a time limit to go down it after, you know, during any of them? Is there a time limit at all? Or
you can take all the time you want slowly walking down the hallway. Though there is a fails situation where if you get enough fails in a row, it'll just like end your game. Yeah, I was gonna say the first Project 13 had a hard mode that was timed, but this one I don't think I saw a hard mode on this one. So
okay, so you could just take pictures of everything and then just walk through.
You could. That is an option, but I mean, you're talking about a three-dimensional hallway, and not everything is going to be as obvious. Like in the original Project 13, as an example, there were things in the trash can or paintings that had slight differences to them. In taxidermy trials, I ran into like a zebra that had like a mask on it, which was pretty obvious, but I haven't learned all the really subtle stuff. Like, again, you know, if you did take pictures of all the heads on the ceiling or up near the ceiling, you might not make the mistake that I did in thinking like, oh, hey, that was different from the last run, but apparently the last run I guessed right and I was wrong about what was wrong. So, yeah.
All right, well, go ahead.
On your run-throughs of here, is it all comparing it to the first time where it was normal, or is it comparing it to the prior run?
So the only run that I feel you can guarantee shows the correct, like, correct view of the hallway is the very, very first run you make, is the only time where there will not be anything wrong with the room.
Okay, you said you have to determine what's wrong with it. Do you like...
You just put yes or no. Is there something different or no? And that's okay. It. You don't have to, but you will need to like learn what to look for. Like there's a guy walking in the hallway. And so if he suddenly starts like walking at you like he's going to attack you, well, then that would be something wrong. But otherwise, if he's just walking down the hallway, he's fine. There's another lady that's at the gift shop and, you know, she might have like crazy eyes or something, but, you know, like a lot of the things are supposed to be alarming or disturbing, but they're not necessarily like obvious and they might be small little changes.
And all 13 runs are comparing to the original run.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's all my questions. I get it now. Okay. That would be way too complicated for my stupid ass. I couldn't do that.
Well, the game's $5.99. Give us your thoughts.
I would say buy it. If you like the first one, you'll definitely like this one. It's a little more challenging. But yeah, if you think you could like this game, I mean, give it a try.
Cool. Up next, Spell Aegis, developed by Nippo Box and East Asia Soft. Published by East Asia Soft, Released November 20th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Spell Aegis is a survival shooter where you take the role of a mage beset by swarms of blobs, snakes, ghosts, maggots, and more. Wield your staff and fire magical projectiles to slay your foes, then collect coins that they drop to buy items from the shop to keep stacking the deck in your favor, from spell enhancements and protective summons to food for quick health boosts. Jacob, what is Spell Aegis?
So Spell Aegis is it's one of the many indie, like, I don't want to say clones of Vampire Survivors, but you know, it's that it has a very much more retro look to it. Think along the lines of like a top-down Nintendo shooter, kind of like Jurassic Park or Die Hard, if you ever played those. And anyways, you're moving around a short map, and your guy just like, it's a mage, obviously, and you're using your magic staff or wand or whatever, and you're blasting all of these some of them are blobs, they're snakes, forget what the heck else comes in, but again, like, they're not, this is not mind-blowing graphics with this very retro feel to it. And yeah, like, as you level up, you can unlock more powers. Eventually, if you purchase enough, like, if you have enough coins, you can purchase upgrades in the store. It's fine. Like,
does it do anything different than other games in the genre? Because it seems like we're seeing, like, more and more of these, and
it's like, it's slow. Like, honestly, like, it's slower, and maybe I like just have to invest more in my guy's speed or whatever as an as a permanent enhancement. But it's just, it doesn't really feel like it brings anything new to the table. Like, it's not bad. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's fine. Like, I never ran into anything game breaking. Like, the soundtrack was chill enough. It's just like, it's just more there.
The same.
Yeah. Like, it's just there. And I think part of what I find annoying about, this kind of genre is that it seems like it's very easy to make, like, your own version of it. But it, like, the more I play these, the more I understand, like, what Vampire Survivors and the other ones that got, like, that follow this formula, like, what they get right. And it has to be this, like, you have to have a balance of different options for loadouts. Like, I mean, like, Vampire Survivors, how many hundreds of characters are there to play as? Brotato does the same exact thing. And if you're not going to switch up the gameplay by, like, adding something new, kind of like that one, it was the space one that Aceville Games released, where it kind of played like Vampire Survivors meets Defender, kind of thing, or Asteroids, I should say.
Andromeda Survivor.
Yes, thank you, Andromeda Survivor. If you're not going to bring in something that that turns a genre on its head a little, or like throws in an extra genre, you really need to be bringing out all these different loadouts and all of these different power-ups and like things to tinker with, because it's just like, there's that description online where it's like everything is either a spreadsheet or a whatever. And it turns out Vampire Survivors is very much a spreadsheet game, and these games don't really, so many of them don't actually like play into that. Like, you're like, yeah, it's cool to act like a god and, like, you know, run through all these levels just blasting everyone away, but it's also really cool to just tinker with everything. And if you're not able to tinker with it, it just gets kind of old real quick. And unfortunately, that's what happens with this game. Like, there's not enough customization in it. You don't have enough different characters. It's just, it's there.
No, well, it's also $5. What are your thoughts?
I mean, like, I've spent $5 on worse things than this. But I'd really only recommend this if you're a fan of the genre and you're really looking for something else to play. There's better titles out there. Like it's not,
so a try it's not, it.
Yeah, like it's a try it. Like it's not poorly built or anything like that. It's just it's not particularly exciting.
That doesn't stand out.
Yeah.
Oh well. All right, next up, Spirit City Lo-Fi Sessions Winter Wonderland Update, developed and published by Mooncube. Game released April 8th on Steam for $11.99, and the Winter Wonderland content was a free update November 20th. Spirit City Lo-Fi Sessions invites players to experience the magic of the holidays with its new Winter Wonderland update. Players can experience the cozy festive side of Spirit City with a variety of seasonal content that inspires both productivity and relaxation. From holiday decor to brand new spirit companion, winter-themed customization options, a fresh music playlist, and more, Spirit City's Winter Wonderland brings holiday cheer to players' daily focus routines. Aki and Bree, both check this one out. Aki, start us off. What's going on in the Winter Wonderland update?
Okay, in this, they added a brand new playlist. They added a new spirit pet that you can find, which is a two-tailed fox that's absolutely adorable, and you need to go find it immediately. And they added home decor as well as parts to outfits for you. Most of the outfit pieces are like little skirts, sweaters, jackets, earmuffs. Decor is all over the place. Like all of the updates have been thus far. And they've also added in some features into the game, including some that I wanted with the last one. Namely, whatever playlist you're listening to, when you exit out of the game and you come back into it, it now keeps you on that same playlist instead of just switching you to whatever the newest one is. So that's great. Oop, I hit my mic.
GG. Who does that?
Yeah.
I let my cats do that for me.
They also added another really interesting thing that I wanted them to add, which is you can now create your own playlist. There's a YouTube thing that you can now play songs from your web browser or something. I didn't really fiddle with that just because I don't listen to a lot of lo-fi on YouTube. So I kind of just stuck with the Halloween theme because I really, really like that one the most.
Lo-Fi Sessions blasting out fucking Anthrax and Machine Head and Metallica.
Yeah, basically. Opeth.
I would say like a good thing to mention here is that it's like holiday themed and winter themed, but it's not Christmas music.
Thank God.
Fuck.
There is one under the sound options. There is a like tinkling music box rendition of Silent Night, I think. I don't know. I have it in my notes here somewhere, but that you can turn up as like one of the sound things, but that's not what the lo-fi beats are. So it's not Christmas music. It was actually really pleasant, like wintry kind of themed mix, but it was not Christmassy, which was great. It was not a lot of jingle bells. It was not any of the songs we already know. So
no Last Christmas.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. I would tell you what song it is, but, I legitimately have no idea. I'm terrible at knowing Christmas music, so.
But no, it was good. The new soundtrack was really good for the season, and I've been enjoying it. I'm playing it right now and have it on in the background, so.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I think I still prefer the Halloween soundtrack, honestly.
Oh, yes,
I do. That's like my favorite one, but I did switch out some of my stuff that was for my decor with some of the Christmas stuff, and I think it's going to be sitting there permanently.
I changed my snacks. I got some hot cocoa, some gingerbread going on. Yeah, because that's cozy. You can have a snowstorm in the background now, which is really cool.
I didn't notice any difference when I had that going, actually. I don't know if you need to be on a specific background for that.
You have to be at the window to see the snowstorm. But, I just, put it on all full blast, and you've got, snowflakes coming down the window while I'm, typing on my laptop, and I already was wearing antlers for my avatar anyway, so, I'm already just, good to go. I got a little, snowflake hoodie going on now. And I'm wearing leggings and some Uggs or whatever you want to call them. we're cozy. I got the fire going. It's awesome. Oh, and they changed some of the fireplace options so that you can have stockings hung by, the chimney with care or whatever. So yeah, it's really cozy and fun to have all the new stuff. Oh, and there's a new achievement for getting the new spirit pet, the little fox.
Yeah. When I originally played, that wasn't active yet. I just logged in today and got it.
Yeah, I logged in the other day. Yeah. I was like, that's weird that they didn't add an achievement. Oh, hey, look, they added an achievement.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's also another new cool little thing that you now also have presets. You got three presets for what animal you have, what skin they're wearing, as well as what your character looks like, what clothes you wear, all that fun stuff. They've created three presets that you can load up and change stuff in, and it's really nice. It is kind of a pain in the butt when you're like, oh, I have custom colors for my character, for their eyes or ears or hair or something, because good luck getting that exactly right again.
The other nice thing is if you've been using the tools, the task lists, the habit trackers and all that stuff, up to this point, you have plenty of money to buy all the new stuff that you want in game. So you can have all the gingerbread and the different hoodies and the cool sweaters. And speaking of the cool sweaters, apparently they have a merch store. I just found this out, and they're selling different, ugly Christmas sweater kind of things with some of the characters. So that's cute.
I didn't know real about world that. Merch. Interesting.
I will send you the link because
I have it already.
They have the dog as a pillow, and I know you liked Moonfall. Yeah, they have a Lenny t-shirt. I'm totally all about the Lenny t-shirts.
All right. Well, let's talk price on this. The game is $11.99. Winter Wonderland is a free update, so obviously we can't really comment on that. The game is on sale right now until the 27th for $8.99.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? Should people pick this up?
Yeah, oh, totally. It's a great habit tracker, a good little task list that's just, some good beats in the background to help you focus. If you're meditating, you're writing, you're doing your art, you can have your avatar to match. It's just a really cool app to have on in the background.
For me, I really like it, but I use it in a completely different way. I like to turn most of the sounds on to different volumes and just leave that in the background more than anything, because just is so relaxing.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different sounds.
I love the crackling fireplace. That's one of my favorites. I like the night forest. That's another good one. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have six or seven of them on at the same time all the time.
All right, sounds good. Any other comments?
Nope.
All right, and the cool thing, it's got nearly 7,000 reviews on Steam, and it's overwhelmingly positive.
As it should be.
Yeah.
So, looks like Mooncube has a winner on their hands.
I agree.
Next up, Galaxy Kingdoms, developed by Colosseum Studio, published by Aphil Games. Released November 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Enter a universe filled with challenges and excitement in Galaxy Kingdoms, a pixel art adventure game that promises to capture your heart and imagination. As Magnus, a skilled bounty hunter, you'll begin your journey in Greenhaven, completing missions to earn money and explore new planets. Jacob and Bree, both of you, check this out. Jacob, start us off. What is Galaxy Kingdoms?
Galaxy Kingdoms is this sci-fi RPG, also a bit of an exploration game. or I guess you should say action RPG. I don't know, whatever. It's retro. You play as this bounty hunter who lands on a planet because you're searching for this beast. And it's the start of one of many missions. And you're trying to figure out like how to track this thing down. You end up running into a guy, you help him out, and he gets you going like, oh, well, you know, thank you for saving me. Here's my house if you ever want to talk again. Like, you know, over there is the lady who sells stuff, and like there's some other like various places that you can go. And it is a lot of let me rephrase this. Early on, it is a lot of pew pew action, and hopefully you've got good aim, because it does take your gun a little bit to reload, and so you have to make every shot count. It's just like you collect stuff, like you upgrade your loadout, and you just keep moving on to the next thing. Like, I didn't think it was that bad. Like, I was actually kind of impressed with it. The only thing that drove me nuts was the aiming for it, because it was aiming by degrees, kind of like like an old top-down shooter on the NES. Like, you had like a very specific axis that you could aim on. Meanwhile, it's like, you know, I don't know. I think I would have expected something more. You could just fire anywhere in a full 360 degree area. And so you have to become really good at lining up your shots and making every shot count. Because early on it seems like, oh, cool, I could just kill everybody with like one shot. Haha, move on. No. and you have to be avoiding these, guys while you're also blasting them in the face. So, It ends up being pretty challenging. I thought the story was kind of meh, but I think that was just on the writing. Like, I dug it. Like, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever had to review. Like, it kind of surprised me.
High praise when you look at some of the stuff we've covered. Bree, what are your thoughts?
It was a kind of a surprise. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was playing it live on stream, so I just kind of went in blind to what I was gonna see here, and it was a lot of exploration. You get a jetpack at some point, and there was no like instruction on how to use it, so I fell into a river about four times too many. And
sounds about right.
Yeah, I did find some of the aiming was a little rough. You can kind of move your right stick to aim, but it doesn't always go where you think it should go. And other times it feels like it magnetizes and it goes right into the enemy. And I couldn't tell you why that was.
It really feels like you only have like eight degrees of aiming. I don't know. I wish it wasn't so limiting. Like, I get that's part of the retro charm, quote unquote, but I don't know, man, it's 2024. If I wanted to play play a game like that was like from the 1990s, I would do that.
Yeah.
You would buy a retro compilation.
Yes. I'm not paying my hard $5, you know, to play something. I don't know.
The battle music was a bop. What the hell?
That was unexpected.
That was just like, that was some beats right there. I was like, and then there was like hardly any music anywhere else in the game. But then you get into the battle music and it's like, yeah.
I got to play this just so I could hear the battle music.
I mean, it's not as epic as as River City Girls 2. So
probably fair. Yeah.
You know, don't get your hopes up that much.
I mean, it's hard to compete with Meg McDuffie. It really is.
I don't know her, so I don't know.
She's about the composer for River City.
Yes, I know. We've covered that. I was trying to, you know what, whatever.
Galaxy Kingdoms is $5. Give us your thoughts.
I would recommend this one over Spell Aegis. Yeah, that's a weird title. I'd recommend this one over that one. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And it already has a 2000 gamer score if you're into achievements on.
Oh, there you go.
Nifty. Yeah. one more comment on Spell Aegis. I'm disappointed it's not a spelling game. I was like, I saw it and I was really hoping it was like Letter Quest or something.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, I love those games. Anyway, one final game to talk about tonight and is a preview of Spray Paint Simulator, developed by North Star Video Games, published by Whitethorn Games. This one's releasing next year on Steam, no date, but 2025. Sit back, relax, and express your creative side in the colorful world of Spray Paint Simulator. Enter the town of Splatterville, meet the locals while you restore, repair, mask, and spray paint everything from a kitchen to local landmarks. Buy new equipment, unlock free spray, and transform the town. Bree, tell us about your time with the preview build of Spray Paint Simulator.
It has controller support. Yay!
Yay!
I was so excited. The demo gives you one starter job to do. You get to paint your own car as a showpiece for your new spray paint business. Your rich friend gives you some starter money to invest. He's also your landlord, so I'm guessing that'll come into play in the full game. You know, you're starting a business, you got to pay the rent and all those things on time. So you got to do all these different jobs to build your business and keep a roof over your head. To get started, you'll need to buy some supplies at the store. You need paper and masking tape to mask areas like the windows and the chrome and the headlights and other things you can't remove from the car. And then you have to remove things like the license plates and the door handles and the antenna before you spray. Once you have all your prep work done, you can finally get to choosing your paint and sprayer, and you get to the fun part, the spray paint. You can jump on the hood to get to the roof to paint. There are two levels of crouch for you to get down low, and a wide and a narrow spray nozzle in one of two directions. When you complete a section of paint, you get a satisfying ding. There's also a button you can press to show you where you need more paint. And in the menu, you can see the checklist of things still to paint. Does this sound familiar? Once you complete the paint, you need to unmask all the things you've covered and put back all the items you removed. And then you are treated to a time-lapse video of your job well done.
Sounds familiar.
Wait, that does sound familiar.
It does. There is only one career job in the demo, and it unlocks free paint, so then you can paint the car whatever color you want, like purple. In the full game, you can expect co-op multiplayer, character customization, more things to paint, obviously, extra gear, meeting the quirky locals through various jobs, and all the polish and bug fixes you'd expect for a completed game. So if you want something like Power Wash Simulator that's a little more creative but just as satisfying, I would say try Spray Paint Simulator. I wishlisted this, so yeah.
Well, I guess that's the question. Should people wishlist this? Should people keep their eyes on it, ignore it? There's a free demo on Steam now if people want to try it themselves.
Yeah, I would say go check out the demo. Definitely wishlist. Again, if you like Power Wash, this is very, very similar kind of concept, very similar type of satisfying. I hope it's going to make its way to console eventually. Like I said, it's already got controller support, so hopefully they'll be able to port it over fairly easily.
Hope so.
Wait, so is this Steam only?
It is currently right now, Steam only for the demo, yes. And we have a release date for 2025, but no actual date yet.
Yeah.
Oh, dang it.
This one's early, still an early preview. No date yet besides 2025. It is from Whitethorn, who does support console quite a bit. So yes, I wouldn't be shocked if we see it on console. But it sounds like it's a winner.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Like I said, I painted the car twice. Once you're forced to use some sort of tangerine color, which orange is like my least favorite color. So I had to go to free paint and paint it purple, but I could have painted it like multiple different colors if I really wanted to, which was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through.
Yay.
Thanks to everyone for hanging out the whole time, being here, keeping us company. Music this episode, we're going to play something from Mario Paint. How about that?
All right.
Just talking about painting. Let's play something from Mario Paint.
Okay.
Why?
Maybe, I don't know. I was going to suggest the River City Girls 2 theme song.
I didn't buy the soundtrack. I don't have it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You should go buy it.
I plan to when I have the money. Their soundtrack's really good.
It is good.
We finished with Paint, so we're going to talk about Paint. So
makes sense.
I like it.
Paint. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Paint. Taint.
Saint.
Paint.